by the chosen, it really was hitting me watching Jesus talking to Nathanael, and I was going to talk about this a little bit later in the message, but I want to say it right off the bat. The Holy Spirit says only what the Father and Jesus tell him to say. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are all one. And I guess the whole thing of the Holy Spirit being in us, we know that Jesus is in us. That same Jesus that we watched in the way he lovingly talked with Nathanael, that same Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit is inside of us. That it's awesome. You know, I've thought lots of times, oh, I wish I could have been back there and seen Jesus in person, and I've been able to walk with him, and because in the Trinity there's the three separate persons, you almost kind of think of the Holy Spirit totally different than Jesus, but he is Jesus. They're separate, but they're one. And it just really hit me, the oneness of Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God just hit me more strongly watching that, knowing that we in this life can have such an intimate relationship with Jesus because we can have that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it just hit me so much more strongly watching Jesus talking to Nathanael and knowing that you and I have that same experience when we talk with the Holy Spirit, when we engage with the Holy Spirit, when we desire more in our relationship, because right now we relate through the Holy Spirit, don't we? Mm-hmm. He is in us and among us, and what the Lord wants and what Jesus' ministry was when he was here as Messiah to die for the sins of the world is one aspect of what Jesus was all about. There was more, and we're going to see as we go through this today, talking about another aspect of the Holy Spirit, is that it's ongoing. And Jesus' ministry is ongoing to us and through us. Isn't that amazing? You hear this?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reg. So, would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4? The last 2 weeks, we talked about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and then last week, the sword of the Spirit, and we got into talking somewhat about binding and loosing, the whole thing of a spiritual encounter, where not only are we to pray in a supplicating way before the Lord, but we need to bind and loose. We need to take that authority that God, that the Father gave to Jesus, and Jesus then gave to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all who what we are to realize, and that was what the last 2 weeks were about. I'm going to be talking about today the Holy Spirit as deliverer. The Holy Spirit as deliverer. Now we know that Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. And we also know that we still sin. And so we have an ongoing situation where the Holy Spirit is now fine-tuning that. Yeah?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying here? Jesus died for our sins, and the Holy Spirit is here to deliver us in a greater way. Let me go through some scriptures just for that. And so Luke 4, verses 18 and 19 say this. The Spirit, this is Jesus speaking. And when Jesus is speaking, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So that's one thing, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit anoints us to speak the gospel to other people. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
That's the first thing he says. We're to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to people that we come in contact with in the way that the Spirit will lead us. Isn't that right? Jesus also says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That's a work of the Holy Spirit. To proclaim deliverance to the captives. And there were prayers that were said today already that dealt in that capacity, wasn't it? Didn't we? Mm-hmm. To recover the sight of the blind. In one version of the Bible it says, to release the oppressed. Another way it said is to set at liberty those who are bruised. You think about that.
Yeah.
Right? The Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he wants to do is to proclaim deliverance and to release those that are oppressed, to set at liberty those who are bruised, those who are broken. That's what Jesus is still doing through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives in you and me. You see this awesome responsibility that we are actually to carry. It's His power, it's the Holy Spirit's power. But he lives through us. That's amazing.
Yes.
What an awesome, awesome responsibility. You don't have to turn to it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I mentioned this a few sermons ago. Jesus came. His purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. A lot of the problems in the world are due to sin, and the enemy of our souls knows how to stir that up and to then capture us in our sin in our insecurities, in the way that we look at things, and bind us up and have us shackled by our own fears and insecurities and propensities to go this way and have opennesses to things that we know we shouldn't, but then the enemy knows how to do that to us, doesn't he? And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that the Holy Spirit who dwells in you wants to do the same thing?
Yes.
Of course he does. They're one. So the scripture says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this is ongoing because the Holy Spirit is here. The age hasn't closed yet. Right? There's still a lot of work out there. There's still a lot of darkness out there that the Lord is looking for us to just be open, willing vessels that in the day of his power, we're going to volunteer. That's what it says in Psalm 110, right?
Right.
That he will have volunteers in the day of his power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when's the day of his power? It's coming up, isn't it? We're involved in that in the first steps of all of that prior to his coming. I hope you go back and if you can remember, if you write down the songs that we sang today, and go back and look at the words that are in those songs. Man. Talk about confirmation. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that is a positional place where we are. God has taken us away, and yet we find in the life that we live here still that we struggle with our own sins. We still struggle with what's going on around us and how the world affects us. Right? That's still going on. Thank God that when Jesus left, he sent us the Holy Spirit. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. And he is a person that wants fellowship with us, doesn't he? And he is going to be the one that is going to deliver us in a more complete way. Right? You understand that? Jesus has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his Son. And now there's cleanup activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what's going on right now inside you and me.
Yeah, sure.
The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is still working his work in us and through us. And that's important to realize who we are. Because we are in a battle. The enemy wants to capture your head and your affections and your emotions and keep you and I in a place where we're ineffective for the kingdom of God. He's lost us. We've been taken from his kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of his Son.
Amen.
He's lost us. So now the only thing that the enemy can do to you and me is make us ineffective.
Right.
Make us back away. Make us be timid and afraid to step out in the authority that God has given us as sons and daughters of him in his kingdom.
Amen.
How many of us, all of us, how many times have we missed opportunities? You know? I hate to think how many for myself. I had written down here in this section. Note the bulletin scripture in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. What's it? Kathy, would you read that since you wrote it? We didn't communicate with one another. So what's it say, Kathy?
Need a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
You got it?
Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the next verse.
I'm saving to the end.
Yeah, okay. You're talking, can I just add?
Yeah, go ahead.
That the quotation goes right along with what you're just saying.
I didn't read it. What does it say?
It says, the next time you think you have an excuse why God can't use you, consider the following. Sarah was too old. Joseph was forsaken by his brothers. Moses was a murderer. Job lost his entire family and all his possessions, and John the Baptist ran around in a loincloth and ate locusts. The disciples deserted Jesus. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse?
Amen. Thank you. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2? Because, this brings us to the point which we've talked about many times before, and I'm not going to belabor this, but we are in a fight. I think there was something in one of the songs that John chose that talked about how we're in a fight. And so, this is why the scripture tells us that we are to be good soldiers, right? Good soldiers of Christ. That's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We're in this constant thing where the enemy, though he doesn't have us for eternity, wants to rob us of our joy, of fulfillment, of anything where we have any kind of courage or power. He wants to take anything away from us.
Yeah.
And if he can't do that, he's going to try to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? He's going to do whatever he can to throw us into a tizzy so that we can't, we get caught up with what's going on in the world, and we get caught up with what's going on in the family, and though all of those things are important, we got to put it in its proper balance and place, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. That's very, very important for us to do that. And simply, by listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided by the Spirit, we will do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Right? We won't get overburdened one side or the other. We'll know what the Lord wants us to, how the Lord wants us to take care of things. And there's all these inward battles that we have. And whether it's insecurities or fears or the things that the sin that so easily besets us, the enemy's battling, and we have to battle. But you know, there are some things that we need to understand that when you're in a war, and I can't say this from personal experience because I was never in that. But everything that I've seen, And things that I've read about the military and warfare and all of that, there's strategies that people, that the people that are in the military, there's military strategy. There's ways that you approach things. There are things that you should be doing. And the Spirit of God is going to kind of help us out in that, because He wants to deliver us from all of those things, doesn't He? So I just want us to look at a few things. All right, here's something that you and I have to be very cognizant of, and it's already been mentioned. We have already won.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. The battle has already been won. In battles, people get wounded. Some people die.
Yeah.
Some people get cut off from the rest of their platoon. And they're out there on their own until they can find their way back, and so on, right? There's, war is ugly and bad.
Amen.
And not pretty at all.
Amen.
But what helps us out is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit show us that we have already won. Right? Yeah. This is one of the steps that we need to take for us to be delivered from something. Isn't it?
Yes.
You've got to believe that the Lord's going to be there for you.
Yes.
You know, if we pray, we pray for the country, you pray for particular personal things. If you're praying, but you don't believe that God's going to hear you, or that God's going to give you the answer that you need, not that you want, but what you need, right? What good is that prayer? Do you understand? So, we've got to know we have already won. And no matter what happens between now and when Jesus comes back, we're on the winning. We've won.
Yes.
That doesn't that give you something, people that were in the service?
Yes.
Doesn't that give you something, an encouragement to know that, hey, we're winning this battle?
Yes.
Look.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
You need it.
Yes.
You need it for the courage to go through the battle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Right.
So that's one thing. Ultimate victory is assured. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our momentary light affliction works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, what we're going through now can't even be compared. And we can't even understand this, I don't think, because what God has prepared is way out beyond what we can understand. And we get all caught up with the things of this life and suffering through this life and saying, God, when are you going to do this for me? And when is this going to happen? Yeah? You understand what I'm saying here? But really, we've got to know this. This is nothing compared to what glory and wonder and the fantastic thing that awaits us on the other side.
Now, yeah. What was that last scripture?
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17.
Thank you.
Okay. Now here's something, and you're going to go, oh, well, that's obvious. Here it is. When we're in a situation where we need deliverance, because the Holy Spirit will deliver us. We're going to get to some very specific things here. What's that mean if you and I are being delivered from something? What's that mean to you, to be delivered from something?
Coming out of something?
So you're in something you don't want to be in. If you and I need deliverance from the Holy Spirit, that means we're in a problem. Yeah. We're in trouble. We're being oppressed. We're being attacked. And, you know, the Christian life isn't just a bowl of cherries. And we can't judge and say, well, God must be upset with me. Just look at all this junk that I'm in right now. You understand? This is what happens to us living in this life.
Yeah.
Par for the course. And we're much better off than people who don't have Christ. Amen. Isn't that right?
Yes.
At least we have Christ. At least we know that we have ultimate victory.
Amen.
At least we know that we have a loving God who has died for our sins.
Amen.
And that we're going to be living in heaven forever and ever.
Amen.
We have that as a basis to fight what we have to fight against in this life. Is that right?
Yes.
So that's really important.
We have hope.
Yes. We have the hope.
Right?
Right. So, here's something else that's said. I want you to turn to Isaiah 59, verse 19. Isaiah 59, 19. It says this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, I'm just asking now, would that be the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Is that Holy Spirit inside of you?
Yes.
Yeah, of course he is. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. When the enemy's coming in and it feels like you and I are just overwhelmed, then what's the use? And throw your hands up and might as well just give up and all of that. The Holy Spirit comes and says, no, there's deliverance. It might not be the way you want it, but there is a deliverance that God has for you and me. Yeah?
Yes.
Amen.
That's what it says here. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Right? You have to believe this. The word standard, one of the different translations is deliverance. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will bring deliverance to you. Right?
What's the verse again? I'm sorry.
That was Isaiah 59:19. So when the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard, he's coming to bring deliverance to us. That's what the word can mean. I think you know that a standard in the military terms is a flag or a banner. And it was used as a rally point, or as a point where the soldiers would be able to see the banner and know where they're to go, right?
Yeah, rally.
Because during warfare, the way I understand it, if commanders are yelling commands, or even if they have a bugle or they have some other kind of way to sound advance or retreat or all the different sounds that they come up with. Sometimes the noise of the battle is so great that you really can't hear. But you can see where the flag is. Right? You can see that. And the old time, I don't know what it's like now, but the old time, back in the Civil War, the soldiers were trained to first look for the flag. Because in the confusion of battle, you want to know where you need to go. You get that? So in our battle, where's that very first place we've got to look?
The Lord.
To the Spirit of God. To be on our knees. To be looking to God. God, help me. What do I do in this case? You know, we're focusing where we need to go. And I know we're all Christians and we do that. But sometimes it's 2 days later. An hour later. Not right away. You know, and this is one of the things that we're being trained as soldiers of Christ, that we're it just becomes, we have to go we're going through the paces where when something happens, the first place we're going to look is for the standard. The first place we're going to look is to Jesus. The first place we're going to look is to the Holy Spirit. Amen. To speak to us.
Yes.
Which means the first thing we're going to do is we're going to be on our knees asking God to straighten something out. To help me with this fear that seems to be overtaking me. It can be suffocating.
Yes.
Can it?
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
It's suffocating. I remember years and years and years ago, and I was a Christian. I was Kathy and I were living in Jericho, Vermont, and this is the first time that this thing happened to me, and it's happened to me maybe 3 or 4 times altogether. I had fallen asleep on the couch in the middle of the day. And I woke up, well, I opened my eyes, I woke up, I was awake, and I went to get up and I couldn't move. It felt, and I even sensed, that there was something pinning me down on the couch. I could not move. I couldn't speak. I was trying to say, Kathy. Because she was in another room. And that's all I could do. Horrible stuff. That was horrible for me. Eventually, I decided to pray. I tried to do it on my own first. Isn't that what happens to us?
Yes.
We try to do it on our own. And we're learning more and more to turn toward the Lord right off the bat. And after I did that, and it didn't happen like that, but very soon after I finally acknowledged God and said I needed His help, and I, you know, God, you have to help me here because something's going on and I don't understand this. And I took authority in the Spirit, and I bound whatever, because I knew it had to be a spiritual force. And I bound that spirit, and within about a minute after I did that, I was able to get up. And everything just went away. It wasn't like I had some real physical situation, it just totally went away. That's happened a few times with me. But it would have been nicer if I could have turned a little faster toward Jesus. Because the things that happen in our life, we get caught up in it. It's right there in our face. And we need to learn, and we're learning how to turn to Jesus right off the bat. Turn to the Holy Spirit right off the bat, right? So, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this.
Maybe I should, I'm going to read. I just put a little note there instead of putting in the verse. 1 John chapter 2. This is what it says. And the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Now let me ask you, what would be an anointing?
The Holy Spirit.
It's blessing, and where's it coming from?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. The oil of anointing was always a symbol of the pouring out of the Spirit on a person. To be anointed was being blessed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it says here, and the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Now I want to ask you, are you an anointed person?
Yes.
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 Apparently. Isn't that something? See, because I don't think most of us really think of ourselves as anointed people.
Yeah.
But we are. And it even says that that anointing lives in us. It abides in us. Right?
Yes.
As God leads us, we can step out in that anointing. In the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And most Christians don't think of it that way. They think of the pastor or somebody else has that anointing. We all have an anointing from God. Different kinds of anointings, different expressions, different amounts of power, but every single person that's a Christian has that anointing because it abides in us. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Somebody have a hand up. Yeah.
I don't know if you can even
hear
me.
Oh, yeah.
This may not be a good time to ask this, but I've just Jesus said that he left to be with the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In Old Testament times, the priests still anointed like they anointed David to become king.
Yes.
What does that mean as far as, I mean, the priest would not anoint with the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet, right?
Well, that was a symbol. That was all symbolic. That was symbolic of the authority of God for a person to move in a particular thing, whether it's as a king or...
Okay, so it wasn't anointing with the Holy Spirit?
No, that was all... The oil was a symbolic thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And as you can see from the script, from the verse that we read here, the Holy Spirit comes and abides with us. Doesn't leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could I
give a testimony?
Sure.
Many, many, many years ago, probably 30 years ago, I was leading the worship at the Burlingame Assembly of God at that point. On Wednesday nights we had kids' night, and we were leading the worship with 40 or something kids. And one Wednesday night, I was on my way, and I found out that I was alone leading the worship. And I'd never done it, ever. And I was frightened to death. I taught myself how to play the guitar. I was not capable. I didn't feel capable. And this scripture that we just read, I've got it underlined like, because that's what the Lord, I prayed in the car, and I was so frightened and full of fear, and I opened the Bible, I said, Lord, please help me tonight. And that is the scripture that I opened to right there.
Yeah.
But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things that is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in it. You know what that scripture did for you? I believe we had a really good night that night.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Because when you know that you're stepping out, being led by the Spirit, and then you decide that, yes, I am going to, by faith, I'm going to step out into what I feel the Lord wants me to do. You have the anointing
because you have the Spirit.
A privilege to be bestowed, right?
Yes, it's a privilege. Absolutely. Yeah. Bob?
In spiritual sense, we've been deputized.
Yeah, that's another way of looking at all of this. You know, because, yeah, we're the Lord's deputies right now. Isn't that right? All right. So I wanted to say this because in the aspect of the Holy Spirit being our being a deliverer, that He delivers us, right? Here's another scripture that helps to bring that point home, and it's Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." So the Holy Spirit, the anointing that is in us, abiding in us, is what's going to break the yoke. That means there's deliverance. You see that? The Holy Spirit wants us to be delivered from the things that have plagued us. You think that that's true?
Yes.
And we still see a lot of things going on. And we've prayed for years over some things probably, and there has not been a breakthrough. So something's up, isn't it? And I think that we need to ask God, and maybe it's out of the timing of God, you can't say because everything's different. But we need to understand that we have the authority that's given to us, and we have an anointing to step out in faith and speak and bring down strongholds. Bring down strongholds in our life. And if we mean it, we'll keep doing it. You hear me?
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times we can go, "Oh, I guess God doesn't want to do that because he didn't take care of it today. So I guess I'm not supposed to." No, you keep praying to God. We break through in that way. You understand? Okay. All right. I just had some things that I thought might be good to move in the anointing. I wrote these down. It's not in any particular order, but we have to expect to be used.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to expect that God's going to use us.
Yeah.
Right. Because if we're just kind of like this, golly gee whiz, I'm just walking through life and gosh, golly. Our heads down, we're not looking up, we're not being aware of the people that are in the store or wherever we might be, and is God speaking something to us to reach out to someone? I'm proud, you know, I just kind of go in and I do my stuff and I get out. And the Lord's really saying, "And this is for me, you know, especially. I need to be more aware of who is around me and what is going on." Right?
Yes.
How can I be used if I'm just kind of, you know, golly gee whizzing it through the store or wherever I might be? God could use you and me at any time in any kind of situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I can tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. When we speak, we got to act and act in the name of Jesus. We have to speak the blood. It doesn't have to be out loud, but we need to know where the power is coming from, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Got to move in faith. We got to hear. You don't just do something. You have to hear from the Lord. Go talk to that person. Right?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 5 says, so this is kind of a negative kind of thing. Don't quench the Spirit. What's that mean? Don't quench the Spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:19.
Don't shut it down.
That's right. Don't
smother it.
Don't smother it. Right? Don't push it down. When the Spirit of God is touching you to move in a particular way, when He touches me to move in a particular way, I can't just kind of rationalize and say, well, I can't do that now.
Right, yeah.
I'm too afraid. I'm sorry, God. What happens then? What happens then?
It dies.
Yeah, it dies. That moment to reach out and be the Lord's servant in that regard dies, doesn't it? And you know what else happens? We get a little harder in our hearts and in our ears to hear the next time. You hear that? And sometimes we're not hearing because we've quenched the Spirit too much in the past. And so if that is the case, we as God's people need to repent of where that's happened. And I bet you it's happened to every single person in this room. And we repent and say, God, forgive me for quenching your Spirit at any time. I want to be open to hear when you speak to me. And then be obedient to it. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So, here's some things. I thought these scriptures are just really great to speak out sometimes when we're in situations. Isaiah 61:3 says, so this is kind of getting back to the loosing things in the realm of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one who would give us that ability to break through in the Spirit, right? It's the Spirit of God. And we can take the written word and speak those written words by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to do something in the realm of the Spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
Don't do this to me. Okay. Isaiah 61:3. I will have beauty instead of ashes. I will have the oil of gladness instead of mourning. I will have a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You're in a heavy, depressed, rotten, disgusting mood. You speak to that. You see.
Yeah.
You speak to it. No, I'm not going to live in this heavy manner. I'm gonna move in the spirit of praise. Right? I mean, you can come up with your own words. It doesn't have to be these specifically. Psalm 32:7. You are my hiding place. You encompass me with songs of deliverance. I love that.
Yes.
The Lord's our hiding place, right? Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, when you feel like, oh, I'm not getting out of this. I know the Lord will get us out of them all. Right?
Amen. Sure will.
Psalm 119:134. Deliver me from the oppression of man, that I might keep your precepts. Mm. When things are going on outside of our control, that other people are pressing in on us, we can ask God for Him to change that. Right? And to hear what He wants if we have something to do. And 2 Thessalonians 3, 2-3 says, deliver us from wicked men. Keep us from evil. And I'm going to just close with this particular scripture. It's Romans 8:28, and it says this: and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
That's good to good to live in, isn't it?
Yes.
Those words swimming around in our brains. Lord, I thank you today. We are your sons, Lord. We're led by your Spirit. Your Spirit delivers us, helps us to overcome the things of this life and this world. I thank you, Lord, today. I thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit lives in us and guides us and loves us and has fellowship with us. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you that we have ultimate victory. I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit doesn't walk away from us. I thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.